Mike Semayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hag Purim Semayak, which means Happy Feast of Purim, because next Wednesday, the 20th at sundown, till sundown on Thursday, the 21st, this year, is Purim. And we will talk about that today. So this gives us gives the listeners adequate time to prepare for their celebrations and their children's costumes, which is a great way to teach the children another Bible miracle that really all families can enjoy.
Remember that Purim play we did for the church many years ago?
I sure do.
It was a lot of fun. All right, you know, Purim should be the time instead of Halloween for the kids to dress up
as Bible characters, of course, which they do in Israel.
Yeah, most definitely.
Unfortunately, some shady characters I've noticed have infiltrated their parades as well, if you know what I mean.
I do, but not over here.
Right. So, call your local church and encourage them to teach on the book of Esther this week, because it really was a miracle, and it is in the Word. And there are some amazing typologies of the end times, which we're going to touch on a little bit today. But first, let us extol our Heavenly Father.
Abba Father, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, Sovereign Master and King of the universe, who has performed many miracles for your people in those days and still today, with the greatest miracle of all, your Son. And because of him, those who are called by his name have power over our enemies as well. We pray for our children that they may treasure your word more than wealth that sadly seems to be the mindful this generation. May we remain steadfast in pursuing your wisdom in these last days. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, I know you have some exciting news concerning a peace treaty of Daniel 9.
I think so, because there has been some leaking, and it is at this point expected to be unveiled around the end of May or June.
Perhaps around Pentecost.
Perhaps. But, of course, it will have to be tweaked amongst the players for a few months, and then a date set for the official signing, which, and these are our thoughts, should be on the Day of Atonement, known as Yom Kippur.
But that's not even the greatest news you have.
No, it isn't. I was so amazed to recently read that Jared Kushner has also implemented in this plan that since there will be peace and security, that all the walls surrounding its various villages to be torn down. So why is that amazing?
Ezekiel 38:11.
Yes. This is the war of Gog and Magog that occurs during the first half of the tribulation. Well, in fact, why don't you just read verse 11, where God is telling what the enemy is going to say at that time.
I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, that scripture is so amazing, because I've wondered for years how that verse could ever be realized, and actually speculated many scenarios, but my insides leaped for joy upon reading this. And I have to say, almost every day, some progression happens to add to my excitement to expect that last trump, perhaps this year.
In 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Yep.
And I know something else remarkable happened last week.
It surely did. Mm-hmm. Most of you know about the recent convergence between the Pope and the Muslims who worship a different God named Allah. And don't be deceived, Allah is not our God that they worship. By the way, this report is in our latest newsletter with a picture of the Pope embracing the Muslim sheikh and with a kiss.
And you can also view that on shofarministries.net in the archives.
That's right. But now, just last week, there was another added convergence, this time with the Mormon Church, who, by the way, also worship a different God as well. Their God actually was once a man on a different planet.
And Jesus was the brother of Lucifer.
And they say you can all become a God someday on your own planet. It's absurd. And now the Catholic Church will be expected to join in this new one-world religion of the harlot of Revelation 17. This prophecy is all taking shape right now before our very eyes. And by the way, prominent Protestant leaders are joining it as well, as in Rick Warner, or Warren, I think his name is, the Copelands, James Roberson, and others. And probably President Trump will think it's a good thing.
Probably so. It just sounds so good.
I know, but not in God's eyes. Rather, it's great deception.
Yep, it's very ugly, but praise the Lord. What is not ugly is people are still getting saved.
Glory to God. Good
Amen.
Point.
Yes.
So, we must be vigilant in giving the good news, because that is why we are seeing so many signs. Oh, not just for our benefit, but so we will know how little time we have to seek out the lost. Because 2 Timothy 3:13 says evil will continue to get worse and worse.
And you know, that's become very obvious.
We are watching demonic influence continue to make strides in taking over our country and the world.
You know, Ephesians 6 is an open reality.
Mm-hmm. And look how anti-Semitism is flooding into our Congress. Mm-hmm. God said in his word that his people will return home. And it's usually over anti-Semitism that pushes Jews out of a nation. And now reading Jewish interviews from those in Europe and in America, well, they're plainly saying that they have their passports ready and a detailed exit strategy prepared.
Starting all over again. All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message, 2-440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Let me also add that Shofar Ministries chooses not to be on Facebook for many reasons, so we can only ask for your help through this broadcast and our newsletters. And your donations are very important right now, so we are letting our needs be known to you. Asking is not our strong point, so please understand this is difficult to do.
So let your spiritual heart be your guide.
And may you be especially blessed for it. Also, we want to give a shout out to John from Cleveland for those very nice and uplifting words of encouragement last week. And know that you are in our nightly prayers.
Okay, let's summarize the amazing story of the Jewish queen Esther of Persia.
Yes, and as we convey this true story, look for some typological pictures, for there are many, and we'll go over them later. This miraculous account takes place after many Jews, but not all, had returned to Israel after the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. Remember where they had been held in captivity for 70 years? However, many Jews, especially the older ones, well, they were reluctant to return, knowing the difficult task at hand. Not only that they had to rebuild Jerusalem and erect a new temple, but also to face the many enemies that would hinder their efforts. And hindered they were, but not defeated.
Read Ezra for more to that story.
Mm-hmm. But anyhow, life was good for the Jews still living in Persia under King Cyrus, and even later his sons treated the Jews kindly.
That is, until the wicked chief minister Haman came to the scene.
Yes, he had recently become the second in command in King Ahasuerus' court, who convinced the king that the Jews should all be killed because they were beginning to rebel against the king's court. Well, yes, that was true, but by only one, the Jewish Mordecai, because he just would not bow down to the newly promoted vizier,
which infuriated Haman.
However, as divine fate has it, there was now a new queen that replaced Queen Vashti, because the king was very displeased with her attitude as she refused to showcase her beauty to the guests at a feast the king was giving. So many women tried out for the new queenship, including the undercover Jewish Esther, after being convinced to do so by her older cousin Mordecai, that had raised her after the death of her parents. And, of course, the king is smitten over her, for she had an elegant air about her.
Yeah, and she was very beautiful.
For sure.
So this was about 50 years into the new Persian Empire.
Yes. And soon Queen Esther finds out about Haman getting permission from her husband, the king, to annihilate all the Jews everywhere. So again, please read the whole story yourself. But to be brief, soon Queen Esther confesses she is a Jew and explains Haman's evilness to the king,
thereby hanging Haman on the same gallows he had built for Mordecai.
Yes, but as well, which is also why they celebrate, the Jews miraculously defeated Haman's army, who had been given the king's previous authorization to attack the Jews. And once the king declares an edict, it cannot be reversed. But the king did provide the arms and armor, thereby the Jews achieved victory, which occurred on the 13th and 14th of Adar.
Which this year, 2019, falls next Wednesday from sundown to Thursday at sundown.
March 20th and 21st.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's the short summary, and it's imperative you read it yourself and to your children and grandchildren. However, as an adult, what should also be pointed out, as we stated earlier, is the amazing amount of typology and acronyms used within the story.
Yeah, those are hidden gold nuggets.
Yes.
And equal distance lettering to spell out words.
Yes, that too. And we'll try to do maybe some more next week. But first, let's start with the easier to see typology by using the Hebrew calendar date of the month of Nisan on the 17th.
When the evil Haman was hung.
He was, which is, of course, easily figured out by connecting the dates given in Esther 3, verse 7, and continuing in chapter 4. So a very important day to remember is Nisan 17, because it just happens to be the same date that Jesus would later crush Satan by rising from the dead. Jesus' resurrection.
Which brings new life to all who believe.
By defeating our enemy, like Haman's destruction represented new life to the Jews in the Persian Empire, which would have been, by the way, all the Jews, meaning the Messiah, well, he wouldn't have been able to be born. Think about that.
Yeah. Also on the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea,
which gave them new life from bondage by defeating their enemy, Pharaoh. Definitely an important date. But there is still more.
Oh, yeah. There's, right. And you can figure out from Genesis 7 that Noah's Ark landed on Ararat on Nisan 17.
Right, on their civil calendar. Also representing new life to the human race. Also, we should mention that Haman, well, he's a type of the Antichrist. Antichrist rules over 10 nations, as we know, depicted as horns in Daniel and Revelation.
Probably why Haman had 10 sons.
Mm-hmm.
who were all killed as well.
That's right. And another gold nugget people miss is that Esther is the type of the bride of Christ we see in chapter 2. She has a long time of preparation. Well, that's a type of the church age. We have been preparing for 2,000 years. And then she was presented to the king on a new moon of Tebet 1 on their calendar in the 7th year of the king's reign on a new moon. Now, we too will meet our king in the 7,000th year from Adam's creation, also on a new moon, more than likely, since it was the Jewish custom, you could only see the king or a man of God on a new moon or a Sabbath. How and, fitting.
Yeah, that's confirmed in 2 Kings 2:4.
2 Kings 4.
Right.
Right. And by the way, Rosh Hashanah always falls on a new moon and is a high Sabbath as well. And it's the anniversary of the creation of man. Just saying. And another thing, since I am a dot connector, Jesus was incarnated into Mary on the new moon of Tebet 1, which just happens to be the 8th day of Hanukkah.
All right, but back to Purim.
Okay, so it was during the month of Adar on the 13th when Haman's lot,
similar to throwing dice,
right, fell to annihilate the Jews, that this festival of Purim, which actually means lots, takes place all over the world of a jubilant celebration, a time of fun, game playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. Now, during the reading of Esther, called the Megillah, Mordecai and Esther's names are cheered, but Haman is booed. A three-cornered cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's Persian three-cornered hat.
It's called a hamantaschen.
Very good. Also, when reading the book of Esther, and hopefully you will this week, look for other types, as in God and in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Antichrist, believers, unbelievers. And if you have children, why not have a little Purim party on either Wednesday or Thursday? Let them dress up as Persian characters. It's a great learning experience of God's Word and His miracles.
As we said, you know, many years ago, we put on a play, and that was a lot
yes.
of fun. The kids enjoyed it.
It really was fun. But now, in our last few minutes, I'd like to give you some steak to eat. Remember what Proverbs 25:2 tells us, and I say it a lot? It is God who conceals hidden matters, but it is our duty to search it out. That's why He hides it. Mm-hmm. So, we, His children, will grow deeper by spending time in His Word. Our Jewish forefathers taught that the highest form of worship is the study of God's Word.
Yep, that's right.
So, do you want a time of real worship? Study His Word. The book of Esther has many hidden stars beneath the surface, like the meaning of her name implies. God's name of Yahweh, as well as the I Am, can be found in what we call acronyms, which is when you take the first letter of, say, 4 or 5 consecutive words to give a shorter version of its meaning.
Yeah, we actually do this quite often.
We do. An easy example would be NATO, which stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Another is WAC, which means Women's Army Corps. Even the USA or the EU, NAFTA, FBI, CIA, well, you get the drift. And every year at Passover, I share the acronym written on the cross in Hebrew. You know, it says Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Well, you take the first letter of each of those words, and it's Yod Heh Vav Heh, which is God's name, Yahweh. And so we can see this as well in the book of Esther. And I'll give you some examples. That's in chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, let all the wives give honor. Well, when you look at it in Hebrew, in the interlinear Bible, the acronym spells out Yahweh. Believe it. Another is in chapter 5, verse 4, going right to left in the phrase, "Let the king and Haman come today." Yep, says Yahweh in the Hebrew text. It's absolutely amazing. Still again, this time left to right, in chapter 5, 13, it says, "This is no gain to me." And still again in chapter 7, verse 7, going right to left, when Haman realizes he is doomed, again we see Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Evil was determined against him. By who? By Yahweh, of course. Anyway, it's pretty amazing to see it yourself. It's just fascinating stuff. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. We also see the acronym I Am, which is the very name God used in Exodus when he announced he'd be delivering his people from Pharaoh. And now once again, delivers them from Haman. In chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "He," this is one. Now I realize most won't be doing this kind of study, unless you are learning Hebrew, perhaps. But if anyone is listening tonight that is questioning whether the Bible was totally inspired, letter by letter, this should help you understand that man alone could not have written these scrolls. Impossible. And there is still more. You can also see what we call equal distance letter sequence, or ELS is the acronym for that. This is where you have the same amount of letters in Hebrew, of course, between the next correct letter to spell something very significant. The example of this is in chapter 1, verse 3. We see the name Mashiach is encoded. Now, what is the number for Jesus? Of course, it's 8. And, of course, that's because it means never ending or eternity. Well, every 8th letter in chapter 1, verse 3, from right to left, you pick up the next letter in Mashiach, starting with the letter M and going forth 8 letters to the next letter Sheen, and then 8 more to the next letter Yod, and 8 more to the last letter Het, Mashiach. It's totally amazing, but again, just shows you how detailed God is. Chapter 4, verse 17, we see the name Yeshua, counting every 8 letters from left to right, beginning with the Yod, Sheed, Vav, Ayin. In verse 2 of chapter 4, we see El Shaddai, spelled out every 7 letters. And then the next one is kind of humorous. It's in Esther 3, verses 11 and 12, when the king is speaking to Haman, starting with the first Hebrew letter, He, in Haman, counting every 6th letter, which is the number for man, it reads, "Haman and Satan stinketh." It's honestly, and they do. But anyway, I'll leave you with an easier one. Most of you know how Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1 and counting every 8th verse, which is Jesus' number, begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 Hebrew letters times 8 equals 176 verses, which is exactly what is in Psalm 119. Man alone wouldn't even think about doing that. Only God. And one more point before we close. Another interesting nugget is, did you know that all languages flow towards Jerusalem? Some languages are read from left to right, while other languages are read right to left. The ones east of Jerusalem, like Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Sanskrit, Asians, of course, but nations that are west of Jerusalem read left to right, like our English. And I find that very intriguing. Okay, so what do you think? Knowing his word is practically handwritten by God himself for us. My question is, why don't more Christians study their Bible? They're missing so much. But you are not if you are making this Bible study a weekly commitment. Till next time, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and your president. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.